ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता एज इट इज चैप्टर 16, चैप्टर टाइटल्ड डिवाइन एंड डिमोनिक नेचर, वर्स नंबर 6 and 7। द्वौ भूत सर्गे लोके अस्मिन् दैव आसुर एव च दैवो विस्तरसह प्रोक्ता आसुरं पार्थ मे श्रृणु। रिपोर्ट। ओ सन ऑफ पृथा, इन दिस वर्ल्ड देर आर टू काइंड्स ऑफ क्रिएटेड बीइंग्स, वन इज कॉल्ड डिवाइन एंड द अदर डिमोनियक। आई हैव ऑलरेडी एक्सप्लेन टू यू एट लेंथ द डिवाइन क्वालिटीज। Now hear from me of the demoniac. Verse 7th translation. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. Now we'll read the purport given by Srila Prabhupada. Lord Krishna, having assured Arjuna that he was born with divine qualities, is now describing the demoniac way. The conditioned living entities are divided into two classes in this world. Those who are born with divine qualities follow a regulated life, that is to say, they abide by the injunctions in scriptures and by the authorities. One should perform duties in the light of authoritative scriptures. This mentality is called divine. One who does not follow the regulative principles as they are laid down in the scriptures and who act according to the whims is called demoniac or asuric. There is no other criteria but obedience to the regulative principles of scriptures. It is mentioned in Vedic literatures that both the demigods and the demons are born of the Prajapati. The only difference is that one class obeys the Vedic injunctions and the other does not. Hare Krishna. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, in his search for God, he was traveling to different places. He reaches to Bihar, and from there he wants to travel to Himalayas. So he crosses over to Nepal, and there a bus drops him on the outskirts of Kathmandu city. It's very pitch dark, and he starts walking all alone, and the street is totally vacant. There is nobody there. So he's walking in the middle of the night all alone. Suddenly he hears a loud howling of dogs, and suddenly he remembers actually he had heard from sadhus previously that in that part of the Kathmandu city, there are very ferocious dogs which can devour a person actually. So he was a little afraid, and as within no time he saw there was a group of eight dogs just attacking him immediately. His sadhu is alone, not having anything with him, and there is pack of eight wild dogs attack him. They are howling very ferociously at him, ready to devour him. He is very, very afraid what to do now actually. Not having anything with him. Suddenly he has a small stick with him, which he is carrying actually. He starts waving that stick to move away those dogs. He goes to a wall actually, supports himself with the wall so that the dogs don't attack from behind. In front, the dogs form a semicircle around him. He is supported against the wall. All the dogs are around him. And they are just ready to devour him actually. Wild dogs having rabies. He keeps moving his stick. Slowly he gets tired, removing each dog one by one. And the dogs are sensing that he is getting tired. They are not ordinary dogs actually. They are very wild dogs. And they are sensing that he is getting tired. They are about to devour him actually. He's praying to Lord, please help. I am in search for God and this is what I am facing actually. will I die in the hands of these wild dogs like this? So suddenly he sees on a wall, there is a small door and there is a knob to it. He slowly opens that knob, moves it and pushes. He feels so happy, suddenly the door opens. He goes inside and shuts the door. Somehow he is saved. This is a real life experience which he went through. Then later on he recollects in his book what he is learning from that experience. Actually, he quotes is one of his very dear friends, Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, who says, within each heart there dwell two dogs, good dog and a bad dog. Good dog represents the divine qualities, humility, tolerance, compassion, and the bad dog, it represents all demonic qualities, lust, anger, greed, pride. And whichever dog we feed the most, that dog will conquer the other dog. He was saying, then he was reflecting actually as he's on his spiritual journey, going to Himalaya, searching for God. He comes to this realization that soon he's going to face such things in his internal journey also. Right now in his external journey to Himalayas, he faced with these dogs. And then he reflected how within his internal journey, he has to face these two types of dogs, good dog and bad dog. So I thought this story very much appropriate to what we are reading today, this entire chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter. Its title is The Divine and Demoniac. We undertake an internal journey in our spiritual path. We see we are constantly faced with these two natures. We might think actually I have taken to spirituality, so I have become divine. Those who are outside, they are demoniac. But actually it's not true. If you see some years back, all these verses which describe demoniac qualities, they very much were applicable to us also. And they are still applicable actually. Only difference is now that we are trying to follow this path of spirituality, we are also trying to develop some divine qualities, good qualities. But this struggle is always there between good and the bad. In this chapter, actually, very easy breakup is there of this chapter, divine and demoniac. In the first three verses, Lord Krishna is describing all the divine qualities. There are 25 divine qualities he explains in details. And then from 4th verse up to 20th verse is all demoniac qualities which are described. And in the last 4 verses he gives us a choice. What do we want to choose, divine or the demoniac? The very last 2 verses are those who follow the scriptures, they are divine, and those who reject, they are demoniac. Like that, very easy break of this chapter is given. In Srimad Bhagavatam, one very very graphic story is there of this divine and demoniac nature. We have Prahlad Maharaj, who was son of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu represents that entire demoniac qualities. Very cruel, selfish, greedy, lusty. But his son, Prahlad Maharaj, he was full of all divine qualities. So, when we read that, when we come to devotional life, we think actually I am Prahlad. And all these other people, my family members, my neighbors, my colleagues in office, they are like Hiranyakashipu, demoniac. They are not allowing me to practice my spirituality. But slowly over the years, when we start practicing, we spend some years, then we realize actually we do have so much demonic qualities in our heart still. Then the complete analysis changes actually. In the beginning we think we are like Prahlad, and others are like Hiranyakashipu, they are demoniac. And slowly we realize actually we do have demoniac part. We are like Hiranyakashipu, and others are like Prahlad. We pray to Lord Narsingadev, oh Lord Narsingadev, please help. In my heart, there are so many demoniac qualities. Please appear in my heart and cleanse me. Actually, there is one very real story of one Russian Mataji. She once got a gift from Mayapur. It was nail, fingernail of Lord Narasimha Dev. We have a very beautiful deity in Mayapur, Lord Narasimha Dev. So she got a gift of one of the nails of fingers of Lord Narasimha Dev. We sing that prayer. Tavakara kamalavare nakhamadbhuta shringa. Lord's hands are beautiful like lotus, and their nails on the fingers are very, very special. Very sharp, very hard. So she got this nail as a gift and she was sleeping. That night in her dream, Lord Narasimha Dev appeared. She was surprised actually. That day, not Narasimha Dev himself is appearing in her dream. And what he does, he puts his finger right inside her heart and takes out something with his nail. She sees this something black, very black, thick, some substance is there. So she is asking, Lord, what is this? So Lord Narasimha Dev tells, see, this is lust in your heart. And there is more. She is very much surprised, actually, bewildered. So she immediately goes to Mayapur. She talks to the head pujari of Narasimha Dev, Pankanjangri Prabhu. Okay, like that she got a dream. How to interpret this? What to do now? So Pankanjangri Prabhu told her, this is true actually. We have so much demonic qualities in our heart. He said, you pray sincerely to Lord Narasimha Dev. Pray, O Lord, please remove these impurities from my heart. So we see this battle is constantly going on. We are faced with some situation and suddenly in the mind this thing comes. We are divided into two. One half is saying to do something, other half is saying to do something. When there is some temptation, we see some people are able to easily say no to the temptation. But others, they don't find it so easy actually. They succumb, they are helpless to the temptation. So if we analyze, why is that? How is that some people are able to say no, but others, they are helpless when they are faced with some temptation, faced to make some choice, they are not able to say no. So one Prabhupada disciple was giving very nice analysis. He was saying those who seem, at least currently they are feeling helpless, faced with temptation, they are not able to say no. Even they actually, if you see in the past, they had that choice. Either in this life or previous lives, everybody had a choice to say no. But at that time, we gave in actually to that temptation. At that time we gave in temptation, and slowly now we have been conditioned to that, and now we are not able to give in, say no to that temptation. In Bhagavad Gita, actually in detail, there are chapters, 14 chapters, 3 modes of material nature and other chapters. Lord Krishna in very detail explains the 3 modes of material nature. Modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. So we see demigods, they are prominently in the mode of goodness. Whereas the demons, they are mostly in the modes of passion and ignorance. So every decision we take now in our life at this moment, we are conditioning ourselves to particular modes. Goodness, passion or ignorance. And Jananivas Prabhu, he was saying actually, to say no to temptation or Maya, it's a voluntary decision we have to make. Sometime or the other, either now or later in life, we have to say no to the Maya. So he was saying, why not say it now itself? Better we say no now itself so that we stop ourselves from further conditioning in these modes. Also we see one example. Once a person went in front of the Lord and he was praying, "Oh Lord, please kill my enemies." And when he opens his eyes, he sees all the weapons of the Lord are coming towards him. He's shocked actually. So he realizes actually enemies are within him only. The demoniac himself. Also, there's one statement one Prabhupada disciple was saying, the great souls, they always see others as great and themselves as small. But those who are small, they see others as small and themselves as great. There's one very nice story which comes in our scriptures, which is exactly on these lines. Dronacharya, he was teaching Yudhishthira, Duryodhan, Pandavas. So he tells Yudhishthira, you go and find someone who is better than you. I think Yudhishthira says, find someone who is worse than you actually. Yudhishthira goes, but since Yudhishthira's absorption was, he was always finding divine qualities in others. He was looking for good in others. So he goes everywhere, he finds everybody is better than him. Then he comes back to Dronacharya and says, I couldn't find anyone who is worse than me actually. And then same Dronacharya tells Duryodhan, you go and find somebody who is better than you. But Duryodhan's absorption was, he was always finding bad in others. So he goes, he's finding faults in somebody, everybody. So he cannot find anybody who is better than him. So he comes back and tells to Duryodhan, I could not find anyone better than me. So this is exactly what we are seeing, the divine and demoniac. The divine people, they are always absorption is to find, see good in others. And they are seeing the bad in themselves. Whereas the demoniac, they are seeing the demoniac qualities in others and they think they are very divine, they are great. So this is always going on like that. And Prabhupada, in the purport actually, he makes a very clear distinction between divine and demoniac. He says, the only difference is that the divine obey the Vedic injunctions and the demoniac do not. So the entire focus on the Prabhupada which is giving on this purport is about the scriptures. About divine following the scriptures and the demoniac they are not following the scriptures. So once Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, he was giving class in this temple, he was telling how scriptures, they are manifestation of both the head of the Lord and heart of the Lord. And depending upon how we approach the scriptures, they reciprocate with us. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathe bhajami ham. So as you approach me, accordingly I reciprocate. So scriptures being manifestation of the Lord, they also reciprocate accordingly. He was telling very nicely, when we approach the scriptures with our logical head, how does the Lord reciprocate? Lord reciprocates with the logical head. Scriptures, when we approach it logically, then we get the same logical reciprocation from the Lord. But when these same scriptures, when you approach with a repentant heart, in the mood of changing, then how does the Lord reciprocate? Lord reciprocates with a compassionate heart. A logical head reciprocates with logical head. But when we are reciprocating in a, approaching the Lord in a repentant way, Lord is reciprocating in a compassionate way. This is the way. And we see in our parampara how these scriptures, they have been so much emphasized right from the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We had Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami. They left immense literature. We sing the bhajan, Nana Shastra Vicharanaika Nipunau. They have studied so many scriptures, assimilated, and then given their own literatures. They wrote volumes of literature, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. After that, we have Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baldev Vidyabhushan. They gave so many scriptures. Then Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was called the seventh Goswami. He wrote volumes and volumes of books on various aspects of philosophy, scriptures, like that. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur's son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was called walking encyclopedia. He was so much well conversant with scriptures, such detailed knowledge, nobody could face him actually. In philosophical arguments, he was called walking encyclopedia. And after that we have Prabhupada. He gave us volumes of literatures actually. On either side of Prabhupada we see so many books. We have 18 volumes of Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhagavad Gita, so many scriptures he gave us. Actually, once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada, you have brought about a cultural revolution in the whole world. You have opened hundreds of temples, established deity worship, you have thousands of disciples. There's so much you have done. So what do you think is your greatest contribution to this world? So Srila Prabhupada's immediate reply was, he feels his greatest contribution is his books. He was always focused on scriptures, on his books. To his disciples he will say actually, that these books are the basis. Jai Shri Radha Gopinath ki. So one of Srila Prabhupada's disciple, His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj, he writes very nicely, actually when we pray to the Lord, it is we are praying to the Lord. We are speaking to the Lord when we pray. But when we read, it is Lord who is speaking to us. Such a big difference actually. When we pray, we are trying to say something to the Lord and we think Lord is not reciprocating. So what is the reply? How do I act in this situation? But when we read the scriptures, it is the same Lord who is speaking to us actually, directly, personally. Same thing many times when devotees say, Srila Prabhupada was a pure devotee, he was from spiritual world, but we could not get his association. We could not hear from him. So one of his senior disciples, he was saying, when we read Srila Prabhupada books, personally actually Srila Prabhupada is speaking to each one of us. It is as good as we are sitting at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and he is speaking to each one of us directly. Just like we say when we read, it's God who is speaking to us. Bhagavad Gita is what? Krishna is speaking to us. And when we read the purports, it's Prabhupada who is speaking to us. Srila Prabhupada would so much emphasize, he had so much faith in this literature, scriptures, when he will be conducting yajñas, some temple installation, deity installation, some new function is there, there will be some yajña conducted, and at the four corners of the yajñas, Prabhupada will have devotees sit and read from four books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. So he had so much faith in scriptures, although yajña is going on, Prabhupada will make his disciples sit on the four corners, read from these four books. One time one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada, he was requesting Prabhupada, I want to take shelter, please give me shelter at your lotus feet. What was Prabhupada's reply? Prabhupada replied, my lotus feet are actually traveling all over the world. Please take shelter of my books. Prabhupada considered his books more important than himself. Actually, sometimes we think our books are too large. It's so difficult, we cannot read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. But if we see the entire Vedic literatures, it said actually, if we take the entire Vedic literature into consideration, there are 1 lakh verses. 1 lakh, 1 lakh. 2 times it said. It's like you can assume one book having 1 lakh verses and you have 1 lakh such books. Suppose this book has 1 lakh verses if you consider. And if there are 1 lakh such books, that is the totality of Vedic literature. So compared to that enormous volume of Vedic literature, what we have right now, it's very less. 1 lakh, 1 lakh verses. We have just 700 verses in Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada used to say actually, these books are law books. And he expected his disciples to be like lawyers. We should quote from the books. In the beginning actually we didn't have the index. Right now we have index, detailed index at the back of each of our books. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So when that index came in the year some 73-74, whenever Prabhupada would be talking to any philosopher, any professors from universities, ministers. He will speak something and then he will immediately ask his disciples, just see which is that verse in Bhagavad Gita. So immediately disciple will see in the index and say, 7th chapter, 3rd verse. So Prabhupada expected his disciples to be like lawyers quoting from these law books. Sometimes, actually, once a reporter actually accused, he was saying in a sarcastic way that your followers, your disciples, they look like bookworms. Such big, big voluminous books you have, they are always reading. So Prabhupada also gave a sarcastic reply. He said, better to be a bookworm than a worm in the stool. He was saying, no doubt actually, we can read the books. If we don't read the books, what is our destination? We don't get the knowledge, we are certainly going down to the lower species of lives. And we might be born as a worm in some other place, like that Prabhupada was giving. And in South India, actually, some time back, they arrested one incarnation of God. He claimed that he is an incarnation of God. So police arrested him, and people were, in a funny way, asking him, okay, so you are incarnation of God, you spoke Bhagavad Gita, so please, can you recite Bhagavad Gita for us? He was suddenly bewildered. He didn't know Bhagavad Gita by heart. He said, no. It's, I have written, it's there in the books, you can read from there. So, he's the incarnation of God, he's claiming to be incarnation of God, but he couldn't speak anything from Bhagavad Gita. So scriptures, Prabhupada is clearly making a distinction. Those who follow the scriptures, they are divine, and those who don't, they are demoniac. And there are some who come in between these two. Those who follow only partially, a certain part of scripture they want to follow, not in totality. In Sanskrit, there is something called Ardh Kukut Nyay, half hen logic. There was a person who had hen, and he would see that hen would give eggs from the back portion, but he had to feed her constantly from her mouth. So what he thought was, it's very expensive, let me chop off her front portion, let me chop off her mouth so that I don't have to feed her. Just I'll take the eggs and that will suffice. So this is called Ardh Kukut Nyaya, half hen logic, but it doesn't work. So people in scriptures also try to follow this. They think whatever is convenient from the scriptures, they follow that. And rest, what is inconvenient, they disapprove of that. They don't follow that. Half hen logic. Once a person asked somebody, okay, so what is your favorite verse in Bhagavad Gita? There are so many Bhagavad Gita verses actually we describe, which glorify devotional service, about Krishna's description. But what this person's reply was, my favorite verse is, when Krishna says in the last chapter, Krishna describes entire Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, different yogas and how Bhakti Yoga is the supermost. But then he doesn't force anything. He gives option to Arjuna in the last. He says, Jatha ichchasi tatha kuru. Arjuna, contemplate and then as you desire, you do it. So this person's favorite verse is Jatha ichchasi tatha kuru. He'll read the Bhagavad Gita, so whatever he likes, he'll want to do that. This is what called half and logic. Ardh kukut nyay. Whatever I like from the scriptures, I'll do that. And still worse than this is, there are some who don't follow the scripture at all. There are some who follow but only take certain part. But worst case is actually those who read the scriptures but then they misinterpret it, totally trying to mislead the people by giving totally different interpretation. It's said actually the Ganges water is pure, but if there is a poisonous tree which is growing on the bank, it takes the same Ganga's pure water and it produces poisonous fruits. So similarly, these people, demonic people, they are taking these pure teachings of the scriptures But they are taking out completely wrong conclusions out of that. They are misleading the people. The water is pure, but the fruit is very poisonous. Similarly, all the scriptures are very pure, but these demonic people, due to their selfish agenda, to mislead the people, they are giving totally different analysis to them. Govind Prabhu often quotes these two words, Shastra and Shastra. They look very similar, Shastra and Shastra. Shastra is scripture, Shastra is weapon. Now both Shastra and Shastra, they can be used for good purpose and bad purpose also. Shastra, when it's in the hands of a divine person, we are reading divine and demoniac, a divine person will use Shastra properly for benefit of society. But the same Shastra, when it comes in the hands of demoniac people, they totally take out wrong meaning out of that, mislead the people. Shastra. Shastra is weapon. Weapon, when it's in the hands of a doctor, a knife, he'll use it to make a surgical operation and cure a person. And the same knife, when it's in the hand of a dacoit, he might murder someone. So we again see this. Although the root thing is pure, but how we interpret it, it makes the difference. Similarly, once one devotee asked Srila Prabhupada that why you have given so many word-to-word meanings. For each Sanskrit shloka, Prabhupada in detail gives word-to-word meaning. So this is exactly why Prabhupada said. He said, I have given this word-to-word meanings for you to study, for you to understand it properly, so that you are not misguided. And then the thing is, we understand the scriptures are there, but then we have to understand that the scriptures are not like our school books. School books, there is a certain way we study them, and then at the time of exams we just vomit them and then it's over. And the scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, we approach them in a prayerful mood for our purification. It's a complete difference actually. Once a person approached Prabhupada, some outside person, Prabhupada was giving lecture, some person from the crowd came and told Prabhupada, I have gone through Bhagavad Gita 15 times. A little proud of himself. Prabhupada immediately challenged him. Okay, you have gone through Bhagavad Gita 15 times, but has Bhagavad Gita gone through you even once? He was immediately humbled actually. This is not textbook. This is like a scripture, word of God, we approach in a prayerful mood. Similarly, once we know actually when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, in just 45-50 minutes, he gave the entire 700 Bhagavad Gita shlokas. Entire conversation was over in 50 minutes. So people, they memorize entire Bhagavad Gita very nicely, read the shlokas. So similarly, once one person approached again, Prabhupada, I can recite the entire Bhagavad Gita in 45 minutes. Prabhupada said, okay, acha. My disciples were surprised. Wow, he can recite entire Bhagavad Gita 700 verses in 45 minutes. Prabhupada's immediate reply was, can you live Bhagavad Gita even for 5 minutes? Again, that person was humbled. So it's clear actually, though we need to understand it very nicely, these are our law books, we very scrutinizingly read them. But again, the purpose is to purify ourselves, to approach in a prayerful mood these books. Regarding this divine and demoniac, Radha Gopinath Prabhu once was giving a very nice lecture. He was telling how we judge other people by their actions, but ourselves we judge by our motives. This is so wrong actually. Other person, we don't try to understand if he's acting something, even externally it's not looking good, but what was his motive? He might not be doing for himself. In prasadam queue, if somebody is coming and suddenly taking prasad in between, we might judge him, oh, what is this? But all we know is he might be taking that prasadam plate for some sick person actually, some sick devotee who cannot come. So immediately what our thinking is, we judge them by their actions. But For others, we want them to judge by our motives. Even though our actions, they are looking externally bad, but we want others, no, my motive was good. This is like, again, good dog and a bad dog, actually. What we are feeding. A good person, he thinks, except me, everyone is a devotee here. Everybody is following very nicely the process. But when the demoniac person is there, when the demoniac urge is there, what it thinks? Oh, only I am the only devotee here. Nobody else is a devotee. Nobody can understand me. When we read the scriptures, actually, our acharyas always trying to help us on our internal journey, they're trying to point out the various precautions we need to take. Like we read Krishna book, so many nice pastimes are given in Krishna book, so many stories, so many demons which Krishna kills. So we might think, okay, he's killing so many demons. But at the same time, acharyas, any demon Krishna kills in the Krishna Leela, they give a corresponding demon within our heart. Each demon, how he represents an anartha within our heart also. Putna, it represents false guru. Kalia represents envy. And so many other demons, pride, lust, greed. So our internal journey, these acharyas help us to understand how each lesson we can learn from each of these stories, each of these pastimes that we read. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also writes, actually nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. We need not get discouraged. He writes a very nice statement, from imperfection purity will come about. So in the beginning we have so many anarthas in our heart, but if we carefully follow the process, keep on following, we see slowly, Lord in the heart, he'll help, and from imperfection purity will come about. And recently in our Bhagavatam classes, we are reading the pastime of churning of milk ocean, where the two teams, demigods and the demons, they are working together. The churning of ocean is going on. And finally, in the end, nectar comes out. So what is the demonic tendency? There is a shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam. Demons are saying, aham purvam, me first. So the demonic tendency is, I want to do it first. I want to enjoy that first. Let me have that first. But the devotee, what is the divine consciousness? Okay, let others get it first. I'll wait. There is one very nice story actually. One of the Prabhupada disciples, he was narrating it. In America, Prabhupada came and he sat on the Vyasasana. He was about to give class. Then suddenly, devotees gave one for flower garland to this devotee, to that Prabhupada disciple, to offer it to Prabhupada. So that devotee that time was Brahmachari. He was sitting in the front. So he just stood up to take to garland Prabhupada and was looking at Prabhupada. So Prabhupada was waiting. He didn't garland him. Prabhupada was motioning with his eyes. Actually, he put the garland. He's just standing there with the garland in his hand. He's not feeling confident. He saw there are senior devotees around. He saw there was sannyasi just next to him. He kept waiting. Suddenly what he did? He gave the garland to the sannyasi to give garland to Prabhupada. So sannyasi took the garland, he garlanded it to Prabhupada. So then immediately that devotee, Prabhupada disciple, was saying how he could see Prabhupada felt happy with him. That he saw there is a senior devotee next to him. He didn't himself do that. What is the demoniac quality? Let me do this first. There is a nice opportunity. Let me grab it for myself. What does this divine person, what he is doing? Let him do. He is senior to me. Let him take that opportunity. And Prabhupada, by his eyes, just by his glance, the devotee could understand that Prabhupada appreciated this gesture, that he is giving the other devotee, senior devotee, a chance. And he could feel that Prabhupada is conveying that this is the best mood. This is the divine quality to be a servant of the servant. That devotee was telling that how from that day on he made that mission to always try to serve in that mood of servant of the servant. And Bhurijan Prabhu actually, he writes, one of his favorite verses, he says, Stateinu kampamsu samikshamano. Says how Lord is again in that verse, Lord Brahma is praying to Lord Krishna, Lord, I am full of faults. If at all, whatever difficulties I am undergoing, these are nothing as compared to what I actually deserve. He's saying, I deserve much worse. He's still giving thanks to the Lord. O Lord, I deserve much worse. I have so many anarthas, I have done so many mistakes. But whatever these difficulties are coming in my life, these are a small token actually. I deserve much worse. So this is the consciousness in which a devotee acts. Devotee does his sadhana. This is one of the favorite verses of Bhurijan Prabhu. And Bhurijan Prabhu recently, when he came to our temple, he was explaining, we read all these scriptures, we try to follow them, but actually where do we seek shelter? I'll read the exact words actually which he spoke. Very nice words he was telling. In this our practice of bhakti, sadhana, we are constantly undergoing this struggle between our divine nature and demoniac nature. So when difficulties come, that time we have to decide, now what? Now how do I act? So Prabhuji was saying, in my own life, I have recently discovered the value of watching my mind and observing where it seeks shelter during life's tests. Do I become angry and blame others? Do I eat, shop, or just become busy? Embarrassingly and sadly, I have noted my shelter is often neither Srila Prabhupada, nor Krishna, nor Vrindavan, nor its Lord's holy names cried out helplessly. Lord's holy names called out sincerely in the true need. He was saying, actually philosophy may easily roll from our tongue. But the ultimate test is whether or not that philosophy carries us to a true shelter. What is the true shelter? Lotus feet of Lord Krishna and his dear ones, his devotees. He was saying, in this way, the life prepares us actually. Each moment we are facing these challenges, life is preparing us. Which voice we are going to listen to? As that we saw the story of Radhanath Maharaj, that good dog and bad dog. Whichever dog we feed, it will conquer the other dog. Good dog represents divine qualities, humility, tolerance, compassion, and bad dog represents lust, anger, envy, greed. So constantly this battle is going on. And say some tempting situation comes in our life, now the mind has to decide which path to choose, divine, demonic, good one or the bad one. So many times what we do is, in our mind itself, this dialogue is going on. Internal dialogue is going on. We are divided into two halves. So what the bad half is saying, right now, I know this is a wrong act, illicit act or something, but right now I'm just doing it in my mind because I want some shelter. I'm distressed. So mind is playing, this bad half is wanting us to give in. It's saying, okay, it's just in my mind, I'm thinking, it's okay, I can do this. But the good half is saying, no, just wash out, it can be very deadly, it's maya. Good half is saying, no, I know there's a deep cliff. It's a very deep fall is there, but still there is 200 yards away actually. I'm in control of the situation. I can still play around in my mind. But the good dog is always cautioning us, actually, don't do this. It will be very harmful. So this dialogue is going on. Bad dog is giving justifications, is rationalizing that there's still a lot of leeway. There's a lot of distance still there is before the cliff. But what happens during this battle which is going on between the good and the bad, suddenly we see that Maya cuts us off. The decision is no longer in our hand. Decision is out of us. Maya has taken full support of our bad half and we end up doing the wrong thing. So at every moment in the state of sadhaka, this internal dialogue we have to watch out for. What we feed will finally conquer. Also it's said, Bhagavad Gita, the scriptures, without doubt, they prove how Lord Krishna is full of all divine qualities. He is greatest of the great. And in physics, we see a very nice concept. In magnets, there are two poles, north pole, south pole. One is positive charge, one is negative charge. So again, one very senior Prabhupada disciple, he was explaining, in physics we see, like poles, they repel each other. Positive, positive, if you bring, they repel each other. And unlike poles, they attract each other. This is the law of physics. So it's proved that God is all great, is full of divine qualities. So, but when we approach God, we see, oh, I have so many good qualities, I am also great. But the right consciousness, our acharyas tell is, when we approach God, we see how many faults I have actually, how much negative I have in my heart. So the devotee was making a very nice analogy, how like poles, they repel. So now it's fixed that God is all great, He's positive. And when we are approaching God, if we think I am great, I am good, so what happens? We repel. We don't get that mercy of God. Because like and like repel. But on the other way, when we feel ourselves very low, oh, I am negative, I have so much bad qualities, so that immediately attracts Lord's mercy. Positive attracts negative. Lord is all positive and we are all negative. So when we have that consciousness, then we attract that Lord's mercy. And that always, this analysis devotees give between external and internal. Externally, it's very easy. We dress up as devotees. We put tilaka, kanti mala. But then thing is, real advancement is what is going on inside our heart, internal journey. Again, that same story, Radhanath Maharaj was telling how when he saw that wild dogs attacking and he was quoting Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that in our internal journey also we come across this both, good dog and the bad dog. So externally it's okay, very easy, but internally that journey, that fight is always going on between good dog and the bad dog. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj also in his book Beggar, he writes ki whatever these difficulties he is undergoing, he is seeing them as Lord's hand. He's not complaining, he's seeing actually through these difficulties, Lord is trying to purify me. He's trying to take me closer to Him. So this entire chapter, actually divine and demoniac, Krishna says, actually in previous chapters he is in detail described the divine qualities. In 12th chapter, devotional service. In 13th chapter, nature, enjoyment, and consciousness. And in this chapter, in detail, he is describing the demoniac qualities. And in the end, last two verses, he gives a very clear choice which we have to make. Those who follow these scriptures, they are divine. And those who don't, they are demoniac. In this purport to 17th verse, Prabhupada is also quoting sadhus actually. Those who follow sadhus, they are following the right path. Prabhupada writes, as far as internal cleanliness is concerned, one should always chant holy names of Lord, the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then he quotes how human behavior is given in Manu Samhita. So I think all this boils down to what Prabhupada is telling in the purport is we have to follow the scriptures very nicely and try to understand them, try to understand his books, the gift which he has given us. These are not ordinary books, as we said. Scriptures, these are not like a school books. These are words of God and we have to approach them in a prayerful mood. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any questions, we can take that. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai.